In the parsha, when Bnei Yisrael are complaining about the man, one of the lines that they say is "Zacharnu es hadaga ashanocha b'Mitzrayim chinam." We remember the fish that we used to eat in Mitzrayim. And that line is a midrash that the Chida brings down. That's very interesting. That from the fact that the Jewish people complain that they remember the fish, that they're tired of the man, they remember the fish. So we learn a halacha from this. Mikan shemadlikim neros b'Shabbos. From here we learn out that we light Shabbos candles. Anyone have a suggestion? What's pshat? They're complaining about the fish. From here we learn out that we need to light Shabbos candles. Joey.
Rashi says that when they said zakar to dal kinam, it means kinam in a mitzvot.
How does that connect to Shabbos candles? So, there's an obvious kasha that you could ask on the Jewish people's complaint. You missed the fish, so think about fish when you're eating the man. Whatever you want to taste like, it tastes like. You miss meat? They're complaining about meat. So think about meat when you're eating the man. It's going to taste like meat. And it did taste like meat. And it did taste like fish. And they also complain they missed the cucumbers, it says. They missed the melephophonim. So they missed the cucumbers. So think about cucumbers. So what's pshat? It tasted like it, but it's different when... I'm going to read a Gemara. The Gemara says that Hashem tested the Jewish people with the man. That the man was difficult. What was difficult about the man? It says, Machlokas in Yuma, Ayin Dalad Amabez. One of them, Aram, say, Ein Adoma Misha Yesh Lo Pas Pasalo Misha Ein Lo Pas Pasalo. That it's that every day they didn't know what the... You don't have any food. Unless Hashem sends you the man, you don't have food. So it's unnerving to not know what you're going to have or to not have what you're going to eat until Hashem gives it to you. But the second pshat is, Ein adoma misha roa va'ochel misha ein roa va'ochel. It's not the same when you could see your food when you're eating it and when you can't see your food when you're eating it. A blind person, when he eats, enjoys eating less because he can't see it. Or some catering tastes better if you close your eyes and you don't look at it than if you look at it. Or sometimes if you take the same food and just serve it nicely, all of a sudden you think it tastes better, but it's just the same food served better. But when you, the way food looks affects the way that it tastes to you and your enjoyment. It's part of the whole experience of eating. So the Jewish people, even though they're able to think of meat and it tastes like meat, or think of fish and it tastes like fish, but since it looked like man looked like man no matter what, all the man looked the same. It didn't look like fish, it didn't look like meat. That took away from the experience, and they missed that, and they were crying over that. From here, we learn that you should light Shabbos candles. Why? Because to be able to see the food at the Shabbos table when you're eating it will add to your own egg Shabbos, that you could see the food that it is that you're eating. When you learn this pasuk, how many steps do you have to take to learn that halacha out, to learn that lesson out? You have to think, wait a second, why are they complaining about fish? The man could taste like whatever you want. It must be because they couldn't see it. That means that when you see food, you enjoy it more. On Shabbos, how could I use that? What nafkamina can I take out from this? How could I apply this to other areas of halacha? Oh, on Shabbos, when the goal is oneg Shabbos, seeing my food is going to make me enjoy it more on Shabbos. So I need to be able to see the food on Shabbos, light Shabbos candles. The Gros says, when the Torah gives us Tarig Mitzvot, 613 Mitzvot, it's not that there's only 613 things, but it's 613 roots, and 613 branches. But every single one of these roots has offshoots and offshoots and offshoots of things that you could learn from it. There's a famous story about Rav Yashiv, that when he was, I think, over 100, and he had surgery on his eye. They had to fly in a special doctor from America to take care of him and do the operation. And after the operation was done, Rav Yashiv was asking somebody, how do you say Todah in English? How do you say toda in English? Until now, all the conversation between Rav Yashiv and the doctor, so Rav Yashiv would say in Hebrew to the translator would say to the doctor in English. But now, all of a sudden, Rav Yashiv wants to know, how do you say toda in English? And then he practiced a few times, thank you, thank you, thank you. Practiced it a few times. And then he said to the doctor, thank you. So they asked Rav Yashiv, how come? Everything else, you told the translator, you could tell the translator toda, and he'll say thank you. Why are you working so hard to be able to say thank you in English? So he said, we see that when it comes to Chazaras Hashatz, so the Shliach Tzibur is motzi you in going over all the Shemona Esrei. When it comes to modim, so there's a modim derabbanan. Everybody says their own separate modim. So you see from there, when it comes to thank you, you can't say thank you through a shaliach, through the Shliach Tzibur. You have to say thank you yourself. And therefore, when I'm saying thank you to the doctor, that I can't do through a translator. That I can't do through a shaliach. That I have to say myself. So you see that when Rav Yashiv learned the halacha of modim derabbanan, he thought of all the other ramifications of what you could take out from this. Oh, you can't say thank you through a shaliach. And he had that on the top of his head at over the age of 100. Somebody's operating on him, and that's that. I have to say thank you directly. There was a father that made for his son an incentive. That whenever he learned something at night, a certain amount at night, so the next day in the morning he sent him to cheder with like a special chocolate or something in his lunch bag. So after a couple of days of doing this, the Rebbe called the father up, and he said, I think you're over on the Isser, lo tacho shor v'chamor yachtov. Don't have thresh together an ox and a donkey together. They can't pull the plow together in the field. So I was like, well, I don't have a field, I don't have an ox. What are you talking about? So he said, I'm talking about how you send your son every day in the morning with a chocolate to cheder. What does that have to do with lotacho shor v'chamor yachtov? So the Ibn Ezra says that what's the reason why you're not allowed to thresh with those two animals together? Because one of them chews their cud, and the other one doesn't chew their cud. And the one that doesn't chew his cud, see the one that chews his cud, it looks like he has something in his mouth that he's chewing and he's eating that he has and the other animal doesn't have. And it makes him hungry and jealous and not have something. So he took from there that you can't eat something in front of other people that don't have it, that would want it. So don't send your son to cheder with chocolate that the other kids don't have, then he's eating in his face. And when you do that, you're over in the Isser, lo tacho shor v'chamor yachtov. Another story where there was a father that was fighting, pushing very hard to get his son into a certain yeshiva. And he wasn't accepted, and he called up and used connections and pushed and pressured. And finally, the yeshiva said, listen, you have great connections and you're pushing very strong. I could take your son. But if I take him, I think you'll be over in the Isser of Lotako Shor V'chamor Yachtov. Why are you over the Isser of Lotako Shor V'chamor Yachtov? Because another one of the Mefarshim and the Pasuk say, the reason why you can't have them both plow the field together is because one animal is stronger than the other animal. So one is going to be walking faster and pulling stronger, and the other one is going to have a hard time keeping up, and it's not fair to put a weaker person next to a stronger person because it's overworking him beyond his capabilities. It's not fair to put them working together. So you see what he took out of Lotacho Shor V'chamor Yachtov. That he took out that sentence, if that's the parish that Mefarsh says, how can we apply that to other circumstances and with human beings? And he had on the top of his head that you're over that Isser if you push your son into yeshiva that's way above his level. The Ramban, in Igeret Ramban, most of you have learned it this year. At the end of Igeret Ramban, one of the things that he says is, whenever you finish learning and whenever you close the book, think through everything you just learned, whatever Masechta it is, whatever Mishnah it is, whatever Pasuk and Chumash it is, what is it? What are all the things you could take out from it to learn from it that you could practice in your own life? How could I apply this to myself? When the Torah speaks to us, it's speaking not just Mefurish exactly what it's saying, but all the implications that you could take out from it. In Mesiyas Hasharim, in Chassidus, so the Ramchal describes how when you love somebody so much, so when you know they like something, then you know how to apply that. You think about how to apply that to all other things. Ah, she would like that. Oh, I know she would like this. She never asked you for that. But you know from other things that she liked, that that's another type of thing that she would like. And when somebody has Avas Hashem and has that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, from the mitzvos that are written explicitly, a person just wants them closer to Hashem, so he thinks about all the other ways that he could apply these things that a Kodesh Baruch Hu likes. He's looking to do more, not just to be Yotze exactly what Hashem asked for in Mefurash, but he's trying to infer from there, what more could I do? How else could I apply this? Where else could I stretch this to so I could come closer to Hashem and make him happier, and live my life more the way that he would want me to. I'll end with one unrelated thought, but from the same psukim. I'm sure it could be one of the Rebbeim spoke about it already today, but it's one of the things you have to mention in this parsha, especially the end of a zman. So it's really strange when you watch Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a lot of difficult tests, and he was able to stand up against Paro, and he was able to stand up against Amalek. And when it came to fighting the Malachim and Shemayim that didn't want to give a Torah, he was able to stand up against the Malachim. He was able to deal with after Chet Egel, breaking the Luchos, fighting Hashem to forgive them, and he got Hashem's forgiveness after Chet Egel. And suddenly in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu breaks. Moshe Rabbeinu reacts in a way that would seem to be not typical for him. He says, "This I can't handle. Hashem, why are you dumping this job onto me? I don't want this job. Find somebody else. Why are you putting me in charge of the Jewish people?" V'yomer Moshe al Hashem, "Lama hara'ota la'avdecha? Why are you making it bad for me? V'lama lo matzati chen be'enecha? Why are you giving me this heavy burden of the nation? Am I the one that gave birth to them? Why am I responsible to lead them?" What suddenly broke Moshe after all the things that were so hard that he passed? What broke him in this week's parsha that he turned to Hashem and said, "This I can't do myself," and he got the Shivim Zakenim? So Moshe Rabbeinu said this to Hashem right after this story happened. That they left Har Sinai, and a very short time afterwards, they started to cry that they missed the meat. And they missed the fish, and they missed the cucumbers, and they missed the watermelons. And that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I can't. We just gave them the Torah. They had an ability for everything good, and they heard the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." And you never would have thought, what's going to throw them off? Meat, something small like that, just meat, a drink. That they're ready to throw the whole thing away, to turn their back for something. You just throw them a piece of meat, like an animal, just throw them a piece of meat, and that's what they start to go off the derech just from that. I can't relate. I don't know where this is coming from. I can't take care of such a nation, and that's what Moshe said. Ad kan, I need help. We have to realize that even as we leave our Har Sinai in our life, as we leave our year for Matan Torah, our year for taking upon ourselves the yoke of Torah to carry it within us into our life, not to be ready for when we go back, missing something, you know, start to see some things that we used to do or be in environments that we used to be in, and a little bit like our taste buds start to water and we start to miss it and relate to it again and remember what we used to do in high school, and not to let that let us give up all the unbelievableness of what we took upon ourselves this year as a beginning to grow. Not to let just a piece of meat or you could fill in the blank be what makes us just turn around and lose all the potential of what we had to grow with. Shkach. It's a